Yet once more, the world is watching the mighty display of what in military parlance is called shock and awe. And that is in Libya. Allied forces led by America have been bombing Tripoli and other cities to restrain the Gaddafi forces. The main bombs being dropped are Tomahawk missiles, famous for their pinpoint accuracy. Accordingly, so accurate it is that it can enter through a small window and hit the target inside the building. One of the targets was no less than the palace of the strongman leader himself, Muammar Gaddafi. So here we see even the most important building in Libya, housing its most important man, could not withstand powerful bombs. Well, there is one building that has the promise of God's protection for all eternity. And that building is the church. And of course, you know that I don't mean a literal building. This month, we have been looking at that figure used by the New Testament concerning the church, a figure pregnant with significance, the church as building. Alam natin ginagamit yung iba't ibang mga larawan sa bangtipan upang ituro ang iba't ibang mahalagang bagay tungkol sa iglesia, ang iglesia bilang katawan, ang iglesia bilang halaman, at ang tinitingnan natin ay ang iglesia bilang isang gusali. Now, in fact, we very commonly misuse the word church to identify it with a building where people worship. When we say, I go to church, what we often mean is I go to that place where people gather for church worship. But of course, the church is not the building. But building is a good figure to give lessons about being a church. And in dissecting the church as a building, we looked at the area of foundation, which corresponds to the message. We looked at the materials which correspond to membership. And God has His dealings. God has His design with both foundation and materials. We must follow that design. We cannot invent our own idea. And when we follow the design of God, then the third thing that we saw will follow suit. And that is expansion. There will be expansion of the construction of the church building because we follow the foundation and the materials as designed by God. And we are dealing with this because this bears on your decision. If you want to become a member of the church, and every Christian should be, if you want to become a member of the church, this is part of the decision-making process. Will I be the right material for the church? And on our part, as members already of this church, that is one thing that goes through our decision-making process as well. We receive those who will be part of the rightly designed material or membership of the church. We conclude this series this afternoon. I invite you again to turn to our basic passage of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's read verses 9 to 17. First Corinthians chapter 3, verses 9 to 17. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God given to me like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Do you not know that you are God's temple, and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. Now, with that passage marked out, I invite you to a second passage, second letter of Paul to Timothy, chapter 2. verses 14 to 21. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 to 21, another use of the figure of building. Remind them of these things and charge them before God that not to quarrel about words which does no good, but only ruins the hearers. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. But avoid irreverent babble, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness, and their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have swerved from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already happened. They are upsetting the faith of some, but God's firm foundation stands bearing this seal. The Lord knows those who are His. And let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. Now in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honorable use, some for dishonorable. Verse 21. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. I will remind you again that the passage in the Corinthian letter is Paul's reaction to the trend going on in the Corinthian church in which divisiveness was characterizing the relationship of brethren. There was partisanship. And as Paul analyzed what's behind that partisanship, he saw a wrong idea of church leadership, a wrong idea of Christian ministry. Itong mga miyembro ng iglesia sa Corinto ay nagiging tagasunod ng kanilang mga lider sa paraan na para lamang sa Panginoon. At ang nangyayari sa kanila ay nagkakaroon sila ng pagkakanya-kanya, nagkakampi-kampihan, at kanilang ibinibigay yung sarili nila sa kanilang lider sa paraan ng isang alagad. Ang sabi ng iba, ako'y kay Apollos. Ang sabi ng iba naman, ako'y kay Pedro o ako'y kay Pablo. So this partisanship is what Paul called carnal. This is unworthy of believers in the church. And so the reason for that partisanship is a wrong idea concerning those in the ministry. So Paul corrects that view by using, on the one hand, the figure of farm work in the field. Who are ministers? Paul compares them to those who plant like himself, those who water like Apollos. But who gives the increase? God gives the increase. Now from the figure of planting and watering, or the figure of agriculture, Paul proceeds to the figure of building construction. Lessons here are drawn, and the most important is that of the foundation. Any building is only as solid as its foundation part. And as we saw in our study of that foundation, it corresponds to the message of the church. The church has a singular message as far as what we are proclaiming to the world is concerned, and that's Jesus Christ. We cannot change that. And then the materials, Paul again makes it clear that the materials, as far as he is concerned, correspond to the membership of the church. And the membership of the church is to be constructed of believers in Christ, covenanted to exalt God in Christ. And from that design, when we follow, there will be expansion. The church is expected to grow. As it happens in construction, when there is construction going on, you know that it is progressing by the expansion that you are seeing. And the church must seek progressive expansion, impelled by the redemptive message that we bear. Now, our last concern in this figure is that of the structure. Any building has to have orderly structure. Now, if foundation corresponds to the message, materials to membership, expansion to the growth of the church, orderly structure, Apostle Paul goes back to his original concern, and that is the nature of the ministry, the nature of leadership in church. This is complemented now by what we read in our passage in 2 Timothy, where Paul also uses the figure of building, of house, but now he tells us in no ambiguous terms how that house is to be built by the right ministry. And we have here Paul's clear philosophy of what the ministry is all about. Let me give you this message as our conclusion. The ministry in church is for the members' perseverance in holiness and usefulness. Ang ministeryo sa iglesia ay para sa mga miyembro na makapagtiis at maging kapakipakinabang. The ministry in church is for the members' perseverance in holiness and usefulness. Kabanalan at kapakinabangan, ito ang dalawang layunin ng buhay pananampalataya. There are passages in the New Testament that give a wonderful succinctness in describing the Christian life. I have some favorites, such as Philippians 2, 12 and 13. It is He who both work both to will and to do according to His good pleasure, and yet we are responsible to work out our own salvation. Very succinct, very good summary. Well, we have that here in 2 Timothy 2:21. If you want to know what the Christian life is all about, you have this very good summary that the Christian life is to be a Christian, Paul says, who is both holy and useful. Ito ang dalawang bagay na naglalarawan ng balancing buhay Kristiyano. Banal at napapakinabangan. Banal, may kabanalan at kinakasangkapan. These are the two things that Christians should aspire to be. Ito ang dalawang bagay na ikaw bilang Kristiyano ay dapat mong hangarin, pagsumikapan, at gawin mong layunin sa iyong buhay, maging banal at maging kasangkapan ng Diyos. You see, it's not Christians who are happy and jolly. Not Christians who have good reputation and good careers, though we have nothing against those things. Rather, the goal of the Christian life for which God equipped the church with ministry is that Christians are to be holy and useful. Many ministries are deliberately seeking a membership that's happy, a membership that's wealthy. That is not so in our church. If you will have members who have the right goals, let us make clear that the goal is that of being holy, that of being useful, and for that purpose, God has put a structure in the church, and that structure is what we call the ministry. Now, what sort of ministry will be used by God to have a membership that is holy and useful? Using what Paul tells Timothy, I suggest three things. A ministry that will be used by God for a membership that's holy and useful. First, diligence in the Word. Kasipagan sa salita. Secondly, discipline of the wrong. Disiplina ng kasalanan. And thirdly, discernment for the whole. Kamalayan sa pangkalahatan. Ito ang ministeryo na kakasangkapanin ng Diyos at ninanais niyang ilagay sa iglesia upang ang mga miyembro, ang mga material ng gusali ay manatiling banal at mapapakinabangan. And if you are going to seek a ministry when God should send you somewhere else, or you should seek a ministry in addition to present ministry or to alter the present ministry of this church, this is what you are to seek. The first and the foremost is diligence in the Word. Now, in the original figure that we already saw Paul used in 1 Corinthians 3, that of agriculture, Ministers are those who plant and those who water, obviously referring to the word. It is the word that is planted. It is the word that is watered. Now, in using the building metaphor, he alludes to various materials as products of the word of God. That's figure of speech in Corinthians. To Timothy, Apostle Paul, as I said, leaves us in no ambiguous term. No figure of speech here. It is as clear as day what Paul wanted Timothy's ministry to be. Not a mere metaphor, although he would use the metaphor of a great house, but he leaves Timothy without any ambiguity as to what a ministry in church ought to be. And what is that? The words of Paul, be diligent to present yourself approved unto God, a worker that need not be ashamed, rightly handling the words of truth. So let me give you this very clear point of Paul. The defining mark of a ministry is the word. The word is the defining mark of a ministry that will build a membership that is holy and useful. He must be a man that is who is diligent in the word, a man who handles the word of God accurately. Of the many things that Timothy might become, Paul tells him, this is what you must aspire to be. And in order for you to aspire after that, this is your goal, Paul tells him, be approved unto God. Sikapin mong tanggapin ng Diyos, aprubahan ng Diyos. He is to seek God's approval upon his ministry. And the question that follows that is, what is that ministry that is approved by God? A poll was recently made in the United States. Thousands of churchgoers were asked what they wanted their minister to be, what they wanted a pastor to be good at. And based on the collated answers, it appears that two skills are the most wanted by churchgoers of their pastor. He must be a good manager. He must be a good encourager. Those are the two things they want. He should be able to manage things. He should be able to affirm feelings. That's what to them is a good pastor. In other words, if we follow by that poll, that is the man, that is the minister approved by man. That is the minister approved by churchgoers. That is the minister who will be popular. Well, that poll only reveals how far away from the scriptures even churchgoers' ideas have become. That is the minister they approve. But to be approved by God, Paul's words are clear, straightforward. He must be handling accurately the word of truth. The word he used, and in the old translations, it's dividing. The word clearly means to cut straight. No confusion. That when he uses the word, you know what that word that he used means. You will know what that word he used, how it applies to you. What it means now, that he has not been dishonest to the word. He has cut it straight. This is when, as a minister, Paul tells Timothy, you can hold your head high with no need to be ashamed. No description here of how socially friendly or affable the minister might be. I'm sure that would have been something welcome to any minister. But you know one weakness of Timothy that Paul himself gently nudged him to develop? He was a diffident man. Matatakutin, mahiyain, not the people person that you want pastors to be. Parang pareho kami. But here, Apostle Paul is
telling Timothy, despite that, you will not need to be ashamed despite that weakness if you handle the Word of God accurately. And this is what you expect of the ministry. This is what we may rightly expect of a minister. There is so much that defines ministries today other than the Word. Some of those things may be noble in themselves. Some ministers become civic leaders in social action. They become active in charity endeavors. Nothing wrong in those things. And yet, when they are active in those things and yet not able to cut straight the Word, they're not being the sort of ministers approved by God. They may be popular, but that is not the ministry that will be the means to have members who are holy and useful. It is the Word that will give the church its footing. It is the Word that will build members who will be holy and useful. And this is what you may rightly expect, what you may rightly insist on a ministry. Whatever else he may lack, and ministers are but men who will lack many things. They will rightly or wrongly be the objects of criticisms because of what they lack. But this, brethren, is what you may expect and insist a minister must be in this church. He must be a man diligent in the Word of God. Expect this from the ministry so that your holiness and usefulness may be nurtured by the Word. What if the minister is friendly? He is everybody's friends, but if he cannot expound the Word, he will not make members, he will not be a means to a membership that's holy and useful. What if the minister is a good manager? If he cannot expound the Word and apply and preach it, it will not be for a membership that's holy and useful. It may create a membership that's happy. It may create a membership that's energetic in social activities, but not holy and useful. And the purpose of God for the membership by equipping the ministry is that members might be holy and useful. That is what you expect. And that is what the ministry must be. The address, number 16, Pennsylvania Street, may just sound like any other address. But number 16, Pennsylvania Street in Washington, D.C., is the White House. So in terms of address, it may just be like anyone, anything else, any other house, except that it houses the most powerful man on earth. So the ministry will just like be any other office of an engineer or any other profession, except that the ministry is meant to be where the Word of the most powerful sovereign must be trafficking, must be ministered. And that's what you expect, brethren. And Paul defines here that goal is holy and useful. Aspire to be holy. And Apostle Paul leaves us without any doubt what it means to be holy. He defines it in positive and negative terms. In positive terms, the seal reads, "The Lord." The Lord knows those who are His. In other words, holiness is Christ-likeness. To name the name of Christ is not simply to invoke Jesus' name. To name the name of Christ is to be like Christ. And that's holiness. And then he defines it negatively. To be holy means let
everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. It's a continuous departure from everything that does not please the Lord. A day-to-day skirmish to be holy like Christ, to depart from sin. But how do you do that when you are beset with left and right of lures to temptations, to worldliness, to the wrong means for career and income and everything else? How can a Christian overcome all that when he attends church? What he gets from the pulpit is anything else than the Word of God. So we must be holy. And what you seek from the ministry is a word that will carry you on by the Holy Spirit through the week of trying to be holy and useful. Apostle Paul does not also leave us as to what usefulness is. He says, ready for every good work. And as I explained to you before, good work in the New Testament sense is not simply work that is good, but work that does good to others. That's usefulness. So that's what the ministry is meant to do, to influence, to impact upon the membership of this of the church. And it is a day-to-day quest. This is not some great pics of the Christian life when you suddenly think of being holy and useful. This is a day-to-day skirmish, holy and useful. And how will we know what it is to be holy and useful? By the word ministered faithfully. So do not look for a ministry that is fun. Do not look for a ministry that is simply active. Do not look for a ministry that is simply friendly. Look for the word in the ministry. I wish I can be all that people want in a pastor, but I can't. But one thing by the grace of God I determined to be is you'll get the word. You'll get the word every time there is this pulpit occupied. So this is what we expect of a ministry that will have a membership that's holy and useful, diligence in the word. What the Northampton Church, I was telling about Jonathan Edwards, a man who definitely was a man of the Word of God, a man whose ministry, even now in his writings, those are his preachings put into writing. And how I would envy the members of Northampton how they listened to the man preached. I can only read him. And yet, 23 years of such faithful labor, when his ministry began to impinge upon the powerful families of the church, he was kicked out. Well, I'm more blessed in that sense that I hope that will not happen here, but the point is, let us consider the ministry as the place where the word will be diligently ministered for your holiness, for your usefulness. That is one thing we expect, the major thing we expect of the ministry. But then secondly, discipline of the wrong. The reading of the Timothy passage might impress you that Paul is being very negative. Parang napaka-negatibo ni Paul dito. You listen to his words, shun profane and idle babblings. Their message will spread like cancer. And he does something here that people will say a discreet ministry, a gentle ministry will not do. He names names. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort. Now, these words indicate formal and deliberate decisions. In other words, disciplinary measures. That's part of Paul's expectation of Timothy. He is not being negative, but rather very pastorally concerned about the effect on the members.
And what will be the effect on the members if such teachings and teachers are allowed and left undisciplined? He tells us they will increase to more ungodliness. They overthrow the faith of some. You see here how Paul's pastoral concern emerges. No, he's not picking on these men as though he was being churly and negative towards them. And sometimes the immature take it that way. Pastor is picking on me. Is being negative to me. No, this is pastoral concern. Things will increase to more ungodliness. It can overthrow the faith of some. It tells us this, that a faithful ministry will maintain church discipline. Again, for the members' holiness and usefulness. This discipline will take into consideration teachings. Teachings in the church are not a democracy. Teachings in the church are settled by the Word of God, and the one or ones approved in the church as teachers are the ones who set the agenda, not by vote, but by their ministry. This discipline will also consider disorderly living among those who belong to the membership. Sinasaalang-alang ng disiplina ang pamumuhay na hindi maayos na nasa pagkamyembro at sinasama ito sa disiplina. And Paul was telling this to Timothy, whose personality weakness was fear of confrontation with people. And for all that, Paul expects him to let no one despise his youth. The idea of church discipline, I know, is not popular today, but it is the mark of a faithful ministry. A wrong will always have its attraction. Wrong that is popular, you do not want to touch or discipline. But wrong will bring misery if unchecked. She was hailed as the most beautiful woman in Hollywood. But Elizabeth Taylor, dead at 79. She always appeared in public, bejeweled with diamonds. But tell me, do 8 marriages, 7 of which ended in divorce, 1 in sudden death, does that sound a happy life? I mean, she can have all the diamonds and the beauty, but that certainly doesn't sound to me a happy life. And so in church, it is more attractive to just leave the wrongs to themselves. It is more quiet, at least for the minister, than to have to address and be seen as meddling in the lives of others. But if one is to be a faithful minister, he can't do that. And all that a minister can do is appeal for support and unity when discipline has to be practiced. And I'm close now to 30 years in the ministry. Let me tell you, this is the one thing in ministry that I have never gotten accustomed doing. I love preaching. I love teaching. Discipline is that which, if I could, I would run away from. But that's the mark that will set apart a faithful ministry. Satan's effective weapon to neutralize the value of discipline is to cause division. Discipline is always a painful time in the church. It has been a long time since we've had one, and we don't want to have another one. But the challenge will come. And if you want an orderly church approved by God, if you want a ministry that need not be ashamed, then when discipline has to be done,
let it be done, no matter where the chips may fall. And through these almost 30 years, I've seen crying times in the church when people so close to your heart had to be disciplined. Kins, siblings. I've seen it all. But why do we keep doing this? It's not for self-inflictment of pain, but because we do not want to be ashamed when we face our God. We do not want to gather in assembly invoking the name of God while there in the congregation is a clear life that needs to be disciplined and nobody will touch it. That will never be in this church by the grace of God for as long as under my watch. We will keep a faithful ministry that disciplines the wrong. Even if we have to go through with tear-filled eyes, we will go through it. Because that's just how things ought to be in the church. If we will worship with a clear conscience and seeking the Holy Spirit to be in our midst, discipline of the wrong will continue in this church. And finally, discernment for the whole. Here Paul tells Timothy, in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. In other words, Paul here is demonstrating his consciousness of the state and quality of the vessels. He knows the state and quality of the members of the church. And that is something that, again, we expect of a ministry. A profitable ministry will be watchful of the spiritual quality of the members of the church. And holiness and usefulness are the qualities we want. And again, not happy, though there's nothing wrong about being happy. Not successful, and again, there's nothing wrong about being successful. But what distinguishes a church and its ministry is that its goal is not happiness, not success in and of themselves. We want members who are holy and useful. And at any one time, the Christian should know where his state of holiness and usefulness is. Dapat alam mo kung nasaan ang kalagayan mo ngayon sa dalawang usapin na yan. Kabanalan, kapakinabangan. At para sa ganyang layunin, naglagay ang Panginoon ng ministeryo sa iglesia na magiging katiwala upang bantayan, magmasid, tumulong sa layunin ng kabanalan at kapakinabangan. That is part of God putting the ministry in the church. I remember in my childhood, our family lived in a very small rented room. Later on, it expanded to two rooms. We were a family of six, all boys, all four sons of us, and a father and a mother. What I remember was my father was very strict about order in the house, about cleanliness of the house. And my daily chore was to put on floor wax on the whole floor area. Daily task. I became an expert on it. We probably had the cleanest floor in the neighborhood. I'm willing to bet on that. It was immaculately clean. Things were in the right place. So there we were, small house, poor by any standard, but my father kept a strict regimen of order and cleanliness. Well, we're not asked to be a wealthy church, but we must know and exercise discernment on the spiritual quality of our house. And one thing that we need is learn to humbly submit to the watching of your soul for your holiness and usefulness. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief. I'll tell you, I have seen
the misery of ministers who have to deal with a very combative people. I've had to advise younger ministers and even older ones when they have to suffer this combative spirit in the church. And what a misery it makes of ministers. And on that account, I count myself blessed that I see a church that for the most part would be submissive to the watching of their souls. And someday, this church will think of an addition to our ministry. Perhaps even a change. When that happens, this is what we need to think of what God intended for the ministry. I sometimes tell you about my former pastor who always remains unnamed. And I deliberately do that because I saw everything that was bad about the pastorate. From preaching to authoritarianism, and it developed in me a fear, even sometimes a detestation of the ministry. And I never imagined that I would one day be one in the ministry. But the point is that, in a way, I'm thankful to God. I learned from him. I learned in a negative way. I learned what not the pastorate ought to be. And these are the minimal things I want to be as a pastor, and I trust and I know you support in the ministry of this church. A ministry where there is diligence in the word, a ministry where there is discipline of the wrong, and a ministry that exercises discernment for the whole. And this is all because we are told by Paul, the master of the house building of God, thought of the proper structure. And the reason is because he is mindful that each one, each vessel in the church is to be holy and useful. To that end, let us indeed ask that the Lord will give us a ministry that will make us members of the church, holy and useful. Let us sing our last hymn as we have been thinking of the church. This remains the design of God, that he will pursue his kingdom cause not by way of great organizations, not by international assemblies, but by local churches like us. And in seeking to be one such church that will establish and promote the kingdom of God, it can only be done through his reviving power. So let us sing as our last hymn, Revive Thy Work, O Lord. Let's close in prayer. Dakila naming Diyos sa aming mga pinagbulayan sa mga iba't ibang talata, lalo't batay sa unang Korinto kabanatang 3 ng larawan ng iglesia bilang gusali, pinakita mo sa amin ang aming pundasyong mensahe kay Kristo lamang. Ang aming materyales na mga miyembro, mga mananampalataya ni Kristo. At kung kami ay tapat dito, inaasahan na ang gusaling itinatayo ay lalaki at lalaganap, lalago at ukol sa layunin para sa mga miyembro maliwanag sa aming pinagbulayan ngayon. Ang hinahangad mo ay kabanalan at kapakinabangan. Hindi kasayahan, hindi tagumpay lamang, kundi ninanais mo na ang mga mananampalataya ay maibuod ang kanilang buhay sa pagiging banal at pagiging kasangkapan para sa iyong karian. At tungo dito, ikaw ay naglagay ng ministeryo sa iglesia. And we thank you, Lord, that you have left with Apostle Paul, left Timothy without any ambiguity what is expected of the ministry. And that is the same expectation today. We need for our church a ministry that has diligence in the word. There may be weaknesses as expected of mere men who occupy the ministry. They may be limited
and weak in the matter of social abilities and skills. They may be limited in many areas of their humanity, but this is what we may and we should insist. A minister and a man in the ministry ought to be diligence in the Word, for it is the Word that defines what holiness is, what usefulness is. And we ask that this church will ever safeguard the ministry to the point that it is the Word that will be its defining mark. A Word rightly divided, a Word rightly handled, and by that Word, members will grow in holiness and usefulness. You also require that there will be a ministry that has discipline of the wrong as its functions. You know what a scary thought it may be for those in the ministry. For that very reason, the popular thing to do is just leave the wrong to themselves. But that cannot be. If there is to be faithfulness in the ministry of the church, there must be discipline of the wrong, both on account of teaching and on account of disorder in life. And while our first option and perhaps our first choice is not to meddle, yet we cannot do so because this is your house. It is your household, and we will answer to you. And how can we assemble with a clear conscience when we let that which is a clear disorder go unchallenged in the congregation? So we ask, Lord, that you would have mercy upon us, that we may keep this mandate and mark of a faithful church and of a faithful ministry. And grant that we may have a ministry which exercises discernment for the whole, watching the spiritual quality of the members of the church. And grant that there may be in the church a humble submission to the watching of the soul for holiness and usefulness. We thank you that we can look to the Lord Jesus, the chief minister himself, the shepherd of our souls, for that perfect shepherding. And may that perfect shepherding, no matter how dimly, be reflected in the ministries of our churches. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.